Hi everyone, it's Dave Denton on Turnbuckle Trash. Today I'm joined by Zane Peterson, Chris Evans, and Ajay Salveson. What are we going to do today? We're going to look back at some of the favorite things that happened in professional wrestling and some of the things that weren't so good in this review of 2018 on Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Now, it's time to talk about 2018 as a whole. We're recording this on New Year's Eve Eve.
Eve Eve.
Eve Eve.
That's a way to put it, man.
So, we're approaching the end of the world as we know it.
Thank you, R.E.M.
Or are we just approaching the end of the year?
Uh-huh.
So, I was wondering if you had time to discuss 2018 with me.
I think I would love to discuss 2018 with you.
What are you waiting for, Dave? Come on.
Do I need to ring a bell or something? Look back at the year that was. 2018. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, that was great. You
That's why I get paid the not-so-big bucks on the radio, so.
Insert sound effects here.
Yep.
So, Dave, how detailed do you want to get into this, man? I mean, we could spend hours on 2018.
Well, I tell you what, let's do. I sent out this email, and I had just a few categories, and I thought we would take a little time and get everyone's opinion. I want your opinion on a few items, okay?
Okay, but Dave.
Yes, sir.
Do we need to insert a you need to, like, make up a recorded disclaimer statement, okay? This what? Says something like the opinions shared in the following segment are that of Zane Peterson and Zane Peterson only. They do in no way, shape, or form reflect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness of all mankind.
Okay, I can do it this way.
The comments that you heard in the program coming up are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Something like that. I mean, you could say that about me. I don't know about yourself, Dave.
Oh,
you've got a lot of knowledge. I got a lot of rocks rattling around in that tin can of yours you call a brain.
So I'm going to go down a list, if you don't mind, and we're going to start off with the superstar of the year. Zane, who would you consider as the superstar of the year? Not necessarily just in the WWE, but who would you say is the superstar of the year?
Hello, everyone. I am Elias.
I thought you would pick that one.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Because I love Elias, and I'm so mad right now. December and Elias have not gone well for me.
Uh-huh.
But 2019 is a new year and a new hope for Elias.
Oh, he's going to be a huge star, isn't he?
He is, dude. And, you know, that guy, he is so tough, too. Like, his arms are as big as round as my head.
Uh-huh.
And he moves so good in the ring, too. I mean, I think he's going to be nothing short of just a good – I think he's got some real big potential ahead of him.
Yeah, I will agree with you. And I'm going to take you back a little bit. When Elias and Kevin Owens were getting ready to take on John Cena and Bobby Lashley at one of the – it wasn't the Crown Jewel, but it was – the one in Australia, I believe it was. It was that pay-per-view. And the week before this, they were in Seattle, Washington. And this was on Monday Night Raw, and Elias and Kevin Owens were cutting a promo with Elias strumming his guitar, and they were talking. And Elias made the cut, saying something along the lines that he didn't understand the people of Seattle, and now he understood why they don't have a basketball team. And Seattle, of course, went to Oklahoma City years ago now. That crowd went crazy for over 12 minutes.
I have never heard a crowd boo for that long and that loud straight.
And it never stopped.
It really struck a nerve. And I remember Kevin Owens trying to talk, and he had to talk over the boos and
screaming to the top of his lungs.
You could see him and Elias just looking at each other in the ring going, that's what it's all about right there.
Oh, I bet they went backstage and they were hugging. I bet everybody was giving them high fives, and because that was one of the greatest reactions from a crowd I have ever heard in my life. Now, in our best of segments that we're doing, I think it's in August, if you can find on segment 3, I think it is, I used that for probably 5 minutes. I've cut it down a little bit so you can hear some of the highlights. It is one fantastic, fantastic thing to listen to. Or if you can get on YouTube, you can find that too. It was one of the best moments of the year.
That's so awesome. Well, tell me about your Superstar of the Year for a minute then.
Okay, I will do the Superstar of the Year as Becky Lynch.
Good pick.
Becky is the hottest thing in professional wrestling right now. And when she turned on Charlotte Flair in that championship match, she became the man. And that's what she calls herself, the man. It takes me back to an old WNBA, the Women's National Basketball Association. When they first started off, they were doing commercials with WNBA stars and McDonald's. And they had the WNBA stars interacting with some children. And I'm trying to remember, I think it was Lisa Leslie or one of the other WNBA stars. This little boy comes up to her and says, he says, "You the man, ma'am." And every time I hear Becky call herself the man, I think about that. So the way she has taken off, especially since she turned heel, but the crowd didn't like her as a heel. So as the man, she is another one of those anti-heroes. The hottest thing in professional wrestling, Superstar of the Year, Becky Lynch.
Awesome choice. Awesome choice. Well, I'll be interested to hear how Chris and some of the others answer these questions.
In Turbuckle Trash, and we're looking back at 2018, some of our favorites and least favorite things that happened. Juice, 2018 was a big year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good for good reasons and for bad reasons, though. There were some good things that happened, but there's definitely some things that you wish didn't happen. So it made for a really up and down year. This is probably the most roller coaster year in WWE history, if I might say.
We'll just go over some of the things that we have, and we'll be mixing those in with Chris and also with Zane and myself, and we'll get this going, okay?
Yep.
Okay, let's first of all, who is your pick for the Superstar of the Year? And why?
You know, this was a really, really, really tough one. You know, you look at what Daniel Bryan did. I mean, after he retired and then he came back, but he's able to make something of his career. In fact, 2018 was better than he's ever could have ever imagined. And not only for him, but for the WWE with Daniel Bryan coming back. There was word that they were kind of worried about, you know, what damage this might bring to either his reputation or even to the product of WWE, which is kind of crazy to say because I feel like the WWE is already in damaged mode before he even got there. But my Superstar of the Year is honestly the exact same as yours. Becky Lynch has been phenomenal, and she's earned every bit of the recognition she's got since turning on her best friend, Charlotte. You know, she rose to the top of SmackDown, the women's division. She won the SmackDown Women's Championship at Hell in a Cell and has easily established herself as one of the most popular I guess, characters in the WWE. She led that Team SmackDown attack on Raw just before Survivor Series. She got to destroy Ronda Rousey, but, I mean, who gets to destroy Ronda Rousey besides maybe Holly Holm of UFC?
Yeah.
She even got injured, but, you know, she hung in there. But, like I said, she was great, and I think she deserves every bit of the recognition that she has got thus far.
Yeah, I do too. I think when you go back to that Monday Night Raw invasion that they did, and Nia Jax just blasted her, missed the spot, broke an orbital bone, broke her sinus cavity, and Becky still stayed out there during this big melee, and she was just wiping away the blood from her face, and I think that's why people are calling her the man. A phenomenal year for 2018. I would say probably the hottest property in professional wrestling right now is one Becky Lynch.
Hey, when's the last time for you? And I know it's supposed to be, you know, asking questions about, you know, the year 2018, but when's the last time for you ever saw a woman in the WWE have this much success where we thought about it? That over everybody else. I mean, you're talking Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar. I mean, then the list goes on and on. But to have Becky Lynch, for you and me both, stand on top of everybody else really says something, doesn't it, Dave, about where the division is these days?
Yeah, I think it says something about where women's wrestling has gone over the past year or two. In every division. And I'm going to take you back to the TNA Knockouts division several years ago. And I think you were helping me with the pod then. And we were talking about how the TNA Knockouts were so much better than the Divas of the WWE. And I think the WWE just finally got tired of hearing of that. And then that women's movement that occurred, you know, let the women have their day in the sun. And they've just give the entire women's division credit. They've taken the opportunity and they have made hay with it.
It's amazing. And then, like I said, it made me so happy for Becky Lynch. I really did do enough research where I looked at it and I thought, you know, this wrestler here. But when you look at Becky Lynch, there is no absolutely possible way that you could put anybody above Becky Lynch. There's no way right now. And to do what she's doing has been so, so cool. And like I said, I couldn't be more happy for her.
And now on Turnbuckle Trash, Chris Evans joins us. We're talking about our favorite things that happened and maybe some things that we didn't like in 2018. Let's start off with your Superstar of the Year, Chris.
Well, the Superstar of the Year will have to go, I would say, Becky Lynch, because she has turned herself around in a 360, and she has turned herself into the female version of Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, if she can do like Austin did and resurrect his career with the Austin 316, I don't know if Becky would try to do something like that, but yeah, she is one of the best, and she is the Superstar of the Year because she deserves it. She does deserve it.
Let's move on. Your favorite feud of the year.
Okay, this one's going to be an interesting pick for me. Okay.
Okay.
Because it was kind of a lackluster. It could have been the feud of 2018, but unfortunately, it fell short. And I was, you and I both, we've talked about this many times, and we were both pissed at the way that it ended.
Uh-huh.
Can you guess?
No.
Daniel Bryan and The Miz.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
That could have been the all-time greatest feud in history. And it just kind of vanished. It just
kind of
quit.
Fizzled.
It just, you know, and they mixed them into that mixed match tag, and it just brought the ladies into things, which, no offense to anybody, I just didn't understand what they were trying to do with it.
Yeah. But I'll tell you this, look for some more Miz and Daniel Bryan leading up to WrestleMania.
You think so, even though they're both bad guys now?
Why wouldn't you? It will come around somehow. This will happen.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. I hope so.
Yeah. The favorite feud that you enjoyed this year?
This is going to sound kind of general and maybe a little bit of a lazy answer. But do you remember, you know what? AJ Styles versus anybody this year was phenomenal. And that includes the WrestleMania match versus Shinsuke
Nakamura. Yes, there we go. Yeah.
I thought that Shinsuke, AJ Styles, just because of their athletic ability, their athleticism in the ring, to be able to put together a wrestling match, I thought they were phenomenal against each other. I thought AJ, I mean, Rusev is fat, he's lazy, and he's ugly, and he sucks at wrestling.
Are you talking about me again, huh?
No, I was just saying that I feel like AJ made that a really compatible match to make it seem like there was some chemistry there. I thought AJ with anybody was one of my most favorite things to watch for. Another thing that I watched, match was actually about a week ago, and I was watching NXT TakeOver Chicago.
Uh-huh.
It was a Chicago street fight, and I'm sure you've already seen this. But it was Johnny Gargano?
Johnny Gargano.
And then Tommaso?
Tommaso Ciampa.
Yes. I mean, their feud started in 2017. It really didn't get like any momentum until 2018. But there was three brutal matches. There was that street fight. There was the last man standing match. Those two really stood out to me, followed by the unsanctioned match. I mean, and those two just went at it. And I watched the street fight, which was phenomenal. Well done. There was a lot of energy in the match. The unsanctioned match, which was brutal. And the last man standing match, like, it's hard to do a street fight and a sanctioned match and be able to pick it up and try to up that those two notches with the last man standing match, because whatever they've seen before in unsanctioned street fight, they might see in the last man standing. But you still saw that. I mean, you still saw them up a level, and the crowd was so into it. There was a buzz before the match even started. You can watch that match, actually. I found it on YouTube, and it is so good.
Yes.
The spots, the run-ins, what would you call it? I guess, what is it called? The high spots, I guess, of the match. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the high spots of the match, yeah.
Yes, were really, 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 really good. So AJ versus anybody, but the Gargano versus Tommaso was really good as well.
Yeah, you couldn't go wrong with any of those. I mean, you talk about AJ going against Samoa Joe, and then AJ recently against Daniel Bryan. AJ Styles, I mean, it's a term. He is phenomenal, but he makes everybody else look phenomenal too. So some good picks there, Juice, so far. So
I know they're good picks. It's because I'm good at what I do.
Yeah. Keep telling yourself that. I was only serious, by the way.
Hey, let me ask you something.
Okay.
With AJ Styles where he's at, do you think he'll ever get to where he's going to be a Hall of Famer? I don't think he's there yet. Do you?
You know, for his overall work from his days in the old TNA to when he went to New Japan and now what he's done since coming into the WWE, I think he is a Hall of Famer. Whether the WWE thinks he's a Hall of Famer, I think he's going to make it a Hall of Fame just because of his reputation of over the years, being just an incredible star at TNA, also in ROH, also in New Japan, and also when he comes to the WWE, I think the world of AJ Styles. I've been a fan for years.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
The feud of...
I would have to say it would be Eddie Edwards and Sami Callihan's feud with TNA was excellent. It was hardcore. It was bloody, and it had a good storyline to it. And Sami Callihan almost got the Superstar of the Year for me, because Sami's been tearing it up. But I'd say that's probably the best feud that I've seen with TNA is those two, Eddie Edwards and Sami Callihan.
Including that that botched move when when he had the chair around Eddie Edwards' head and he hit it with a baseball bat and it bounced off and hit Eddie Edwards in the head and just cut him wide open. A lot of people gave Sami a lot of problems about that. I don't think Eddie really bothered by it because it was an accident.
Well, like Eddie said on the podcast one time, he said, look, accidents happen in this profession. Things can go wrong at the moment's notice, and he told Sami that, hey, it is what it is, and there's nothing he can do about it. But he received a lot of heat from a lot of professional wrestlers, and the biggest heat he received from it was from our world-famous, famous favorite person in the whole world, Jim Cornette.
Jimmy didn't like that, huh?
No, Jimmy was he did an hour-long podcast on Sami Callihan about that and how dangerous that could have been. You could have ended the man's life. You could end his career. And Sami came back onto Jim Cornette and told him, why don't you just go back to the 70s and go take your tie and hang yourself. So that's why Sami Callihan, to me, is one of he is good. I mean, Sami has redesigned himself, and I love it. And he's going to be a superstar right now. He is in TNA, but I like Sami. He's pretty cool.
Well, you know, when we interviewed the MK Bandit on this very podcast, MK said that Sami Callihan was one of those people that he was picking to have a big, huge future in professional wrestling.
Who's your favorite feud?
I'm going to go with Samoa Joe and AJ Styles.
Excellent choice.
The matches they had were incredibly physical. When Joe brought in AJ's family into it, and the one match that I remember the most was AJ completely freaking out on Joe after Joe made comments towards AJ's wife, and after beating on Joe for forever, it seemed like, with a chair, AJ goes into the crowd and sees his wife, and his wife saying, that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. And then he grabs their little girl, who may be 3 or 4 years old, and the little girl looks at her daddy and says, Daddy, you're bleeding. And it kind of scared her a little bit, but it was a tender moment. And then you know how I feel about Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. I mean, Samoa Joe is one of the best of all time, just the best of all time that doesn't get used. So I would say AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, my favorite feud of the year.
Awesome choice. You know, it almost has been kind of a slow build to a lot of this stuff. I mean, think back to this summer and how frustrated both you and I were. It just, nothing was happening and nothing was going anywhere. And, you know, since October, it's like, oh, okay, I guess WrestleMania is coming up and next spring, so we better pull our heads out of our asses and actually do something. You know, it's like, you guys, come on. You know?
There seems to be, right after WrestleMania, they just say, okay, we're just going
to let's go to coast mode for like, but coast mode goes for like the entire summer. And it's like SummerSlam this year even was kind of lackluster.
This is turnbuckletrash.net.
Yeah, oh, there was some... Whew, there was some bad ones. So that just kind of moves us right into the worst pay-per-view event of the year.
Well, we can just move right past that because we already know. I know what you're going to say.
Tell me.
The tag match with Braun Strowman and Nicholas.
that I was so disappointed in that whole event. And I'll tell you, I guess I probably put myself thinking too much because I enjoyed NXT TakeOver New Orleans so much. I even tweeted out, okay, big boys, top that. And they didn't.
Yeah.
It was one disappointing match after another. But I think there was one worse.
Really?
Crown Jewel.
Oh, you know, and you told me to not even waste my time with that, so I honestly didn't. I texted you a couple times, and you said it was so bad that I didn't even waste my time with it.
You did not miss a thing. It was so bad that Kelly Denton on our Facebook page sent me a message, says, man, can I go on the podcast with you to discuss how bad this was? So Kelly, Chris, and I discussed this. I even did a special shoot segment that you can find on our Best Of. Now, this was, I believe, in early November or late October, and I did a special shoot where I just wrote out my feelings and did almost like a commentary about it. It was just horrific. It was one of the worst professional wrestling shows I have ever seen, but the only thing that saved that entire show was the old guys, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, against the Brothers of Destruction. Everything else, absolutely horrific, bad, stunk up the place, hated it.
Well, I'm glad I didn't waste my time with it then.
Yeah. I don't have any feelings towards this at all, so... What about you, my man?
So, I don't know. Worst pay-per-view. I don't know. Hey, y'all. I mean, like I said, up until the last couple months, the Survivor Series was good. TLC was good. Evolution was pretty good. Hell in the Cell was pretty lackluster. It wasn't that good at all. Extreme Rules was not that extreme. You know, they need to just, why do they call it TLC and have three matches that have some sort of tables, ladders, and chairs in them? I mean, it's like the whole night should be some sort of tables. It should just be a no disqualification, no holds barred the whole night. And then Extreme Rules, that's supposed to be Extreme Rules, and they don't even have any.
There was only like two or three stipulations in the entire in the entire show. I said on the podcast, I said Extreme Rules should have stipulations. Every match, stipulations. But they didn't do it.
Yeah. I don't know, worst pay-per-view of the year, WrestleMania.
It was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad. It was just, I was so disappointed because I was so excited because it's like my one day of the year that I tell my family, leave me alone and let me watch wrestling for all day, please. And I remember I did watch wrestling for like 7.5 hours that day, so it was a good day. But it's just like, I think I remember us talking multiple times about how that was supposed to be the greatest sports entertainment event of the entire year, and it just kind of fell short.
Yeah.
Worst pay-per-view of the year.
Worst pay-per-view of the year would have to be, and drum roll, please. We all talked about it, me, you, Kelly. It was the gym that really turned into cow pie.
Oh.
So the crown jewel was the cow pie. Yes, crown jewel was the absolute worst pay-per-view. I would rather have watched the Teletubbies fight Street Fighter than watch this pay-per-view.
It was bad. We were also angry at how poorly it was written, how poorly it was executed. It was just bad. So
it was beyond worse. I mean, I would you name a worse movie. I'd rather have watched Adam Sandler movies than watch Crown Jewel.
Now, come on.
I'd rather watch Adam Sandler movies. What?
And that's pretty bad. Or maybe a Ben Stiller movie. Ooh.
Worst pay-per-view moment in wrestling and the pay-per-view moments. I think I know what you're going to say.
The DX versus Undertaker and Kane.
Wow, you surprised me there.
Never should have happened. Never, ever, ever should have happened. I mean, because didn't Triple H like tear his pectoral muscle or something?
Yeah, just tore it right off. Yeah.
Just crap like that. That was. Actually, you know what? I take it back. I lied to you, and I'm sorry.
You big fibber.
Saudi Arabia Crown Jewel pay per view in Saudi Arabia was absolutely a disaster.
Oh. Yes, it was. It was pathetic, wasn't it?
I don't know how I didn't think about that, man. I'm sorry.
I mean, one match after another in that one was just so bad.
Yeah, and it never should have happened.
Yeah.
And you had guys backing out of it. It was controversial from the get-go. The attention was more on the event itself than the matches. You know, they're holding Saudi Arabia. John Cena back. I mean, there's a ton. Yeah.
Daniel Bryan backed out.
I don't know how I didn't think about that. Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia was the worst match or worst pay-per-view ever. And that's the worst pay-per-view ever booked in WWE history, without a doubt.
You know, I'm not going to completely disagree with you there because it was really bad. So, most underused superstar of the
most
year.
Underused?
Underused. Someone that should have gotten the push that they did, that they deserved, but didn't get it. To you.
I don't know. I'm going to have to think about this. Who do you got?
I would put Samoa Joe in that category. Samoa Joe should have won a title somewhere along the lines. He had great feuds on both Raw and SmackDown. And, of course, he was injured a few times, but they did not let him win a title. He needs to have a title in his possession, at least for a short time. He is so good for a man that size. We've talked about it. He moves so well, and he is one of the best heels in the business. He's proven it time and time and time again. And I just think that he deserves a title, even if they just give it to him for a month. He deserves that much, and I'm hoping that Samoa Joe will get another push sometime soon.
I hope so too, because man, you know, there. I don't know, was that 2017 or 2018 when he went up against Brock?
2017.
I mean, that he should have been. He should have won.
Oh, he should
back
have.
Then. You know, he should have. Well, there's been so many missed marks with so many people this year. I mean, you know, they made Sami Zayn look like a fool.
Uh-huh.
You know, they totally missed a mark with Bobby Lashley. I mean.
Oh, man.
You know.
I love you.
Yeah.
I love you. Remember that promo?
Yeah.
He was talking about sisters. And he said, I love you. I said, oh, no, I don't love you. Yeah, they missed the mark of Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, and, you know, Gallows and Anderson are probably the most underutilized tag team, I would say.
I would agree, yeah.
Because, you know, those guys were so freaking awesome in New Japan. I mean, so good. And then they come to WWE and just fell flat on their face.
Uh-huh.
I mean.
Not as bad as the Ascension.
Yeah, not as bad as the Ascension. Yes.
So.
Okay. So
you're going to pick the Gallows and Anderson? Because I think that's a wonderful pick.
Yeah, I'll go with them as the most underutilized tag team. We'll just stick with that answer.
Okay. A superstar that didn't get his fair push. Most underused superstar of the year.
Most underused, huh?
Yeah. Someone that you really like to watch perform, but they just didn't get put over. They didn't get the opportunities they really deserved.
You know, when is Dolph Ziggler going to get his due?
Well, he did have the tag team championship a little bit this year, and he was the
solo. You know. Like, the guy's so talented solo. When is he ever going to get his due?
He could handle it. I mean, he is a great talent.
When's the last time you said, you know what? This belt looks good on Dolph Ziggler as a solo.
You know, I've got an answer for you there. It goes back to when he and The Miz were having that incredible feud, I think 2 years ago or maybe in 2017. And then he got the belt taken off of him. And there was all that controversy about whether he was going to re-sign. And he signed a contract that basically made him a glorified enhancement talent. But I agree with you. I think he is marketable enough that he should be a bigger star than he is.
Good point.
Yeah. Bray Wyatt.
Good choice.
Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt has been, he's gone from being a world champion to woken to nothing. Bray Wyatt needs to be a champion again. WWE, make it happen. I mean, this man, y'all had him at the top, and now he is so low, even John Cena can't see him. So, yes, Bray Wyatt is, so, I mean, Bray Wyatt needs, he's the most underused, he's got a lot of talent. I mean, man, the man could cut a promo like The Undertaker, and you put the belt on him, he loses it within a couple of months, and then we can't see him. Maybe we should give him a shirt.
Well, you know, when he did that woken gimmick with Matt Hardy and they became the tag champions, that didn't surprise me. But when Matt was injured, they just completely dropped Bray at the same time. There was an opportunity for him to do something away from this character with Matt. And they just, like, when Matt was gone, Bray Wyatt was gone. I didn't like the way they treated him that way.
No, I didn't like it either. I mean, he was one of the best. He's one of the best on the mic. He was good in the ring. But then all of a sudden, it was almost like Vince woke up one morning and said, you know what? I think I'm just going to trash Bray Wyatt. Bye. That's it. You're done.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it. You're not going to be – you're not going to – look, your little rocking chair right now has turned into a folding chair. You don't have to rock anymore. We'll just take care of that for you. So we're going to rock you, all right? Rock you right out of the stadium. That's what the way it is. So that's my pick right there, Bray Wyatt. Wow.
Most overhyped, overpushed superstar.
Hell. I don't know, you know, because I've got – is it Braun Strowman?
No, that's not my answer, but it could be yours.
I don't know. You know, Braun's good, but I think that I don't know if he's as good as they want him to be. And I know Brock's, like, way over pushed. And you know, I don't know. Sometimes I think Seth Rollins is even over pushed. I mean, he's good, but I wonder if he's as good as they say, you know, the architect Seth Rollins. Is he really as good as they say he is? Mm-hmm. I'm going with Braun. I'm going to go with Braun. I don't know. Maybe that's not the right answer. Maybe is there a wrong answer in this?
No, there's not a wrong answer. It's your personal opinion.
Wait, am I allowed to have that these days?
Not on Facebook.
Oh. That was funny.
I believe that, Bubba.
Yeah.
Because somebody will get out there, you hurt my feelings, man.
Yes.
Why did you say that for? You hurt my feelings.
Somebody might get offended and quit carrying our podcast.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. 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 Yeah, we'll leave that one alone for now. Oh, sorry. That was funny. That did happen, guys. We won't go into it, but that did happen. So.
That's because we got to put a disclaimer in all of our episodes. Dave and the Big Mouth are coming to you live from different parts of the state.
Oh, man. That was so stupid. But they have the right to their opinion.
Yes.
Yeah. But my most overhyped star, of course, has to be Brock Lesnar. I have never been a fan of his. I think he could do so much better in the ring than he does. He's a two-move competitor, and I know he knows how to wrestle. I mean, he was a national champion in wrestling in college. Mm-hmm. He fights MMA, and they have him doing F5s and
German suplexes. Over and over.
And I've said it once, and I'll say it one more time. Without the mouthpiece, he would not be a superstar.
Well, you know what's funny to me is everybody's so critical of John Cena and his five moves of doom or what, you know. And also, I do love how Cena is like – he totally has trolled people and He's like, yeah, well, I released a sixth move into my arsenal. He's got the sixth move of doom.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
How yeah,
he's doing
I
that
have.
Now at live events. Yeah. And his sixth move of doom yeah. he gives him an attitude adjustment and then punches him.
If it wasn't for Paul Heyman, and as great as he is on the microphone, who would care about Brock Lesnar? I don't think he would be a mid-carder at that point because his mic skills are that weak. He's just not a fan.
Well, and you have that right, Dave.
Not on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
And it's nothing personal, Brock. I mean, if he happens to get back, you know, the chance that he would ever hear about this is remote. But it's nothing personal. I have nothing personal against the guy. I think he's been misused in the WWE because he can do so many moves. He could be that beast, but they just got him the two moves, and that's it.
Well, I go back to I feel like a broken record because I always say the same things over and over again. So, but I go back to Brock Lesnar versus The Rock, you know, and some of, I mean, do you remember when Brock Lesnar debuted? And I was like, I remember him walking down the aisle on Raw and seeing those big trap muscles. And I was like, who is this guy?
You know, that was shortly after he had stopped wrestling in college. And he'd gone through some training, but he was actually wrestling, and they took that away from him, and I think that's a shame. I really do. And
Star, who got the biggest push that did not deserve it?
Well, we all know who we're probably going to pick, and we're all going to have to get the phlegm out of our throats here when we say this man's name that you just want to punch the wall every time. But I'm going to mix it up a little bit. The most over push is Braun Strowman.
Really?
Braun Strowman. He's gone up for the title how many times? He's being pushed out. He's almost like Roman. He was almost like Roman Reigns. But I think Braun Strowman's being pushed too hard. You put him in the ring with Brock Lesnar. You put him in the ring with Roman Reigns. You put him in the ring with everybody. And the man has gone up for the title, and he still don't win it. He still doesn't get it. He won that 50-man battle royal, big hairy deal. Okay, that's fine. You're not a champion. I mean, and now he's injured. He's been pushed too hard. The man, I don't see anything. These hands are not these hands anymore. Go chop up some carrots with those hands or something. I don't see anything with you anymore. Those hands. What are those?
But he did win the tag team championships with Nicholas.
Well, that's fine. That's great. I mean, him and a wooden dummy, him and a broomstick would have probably won the tag team title.
Maybe he should team with Curt Hawkins because Curt Hawkins hasn't won all year long. So,
well, that'd be great. These hands versus this nothing. I mean, yeah. I don't get it with him, but he's been pushed too hard, pushed too much. And I'll put a second one in there. We all know who it is. It's the anti-steroid freak anymore, Brock Lesnar. This man went from having muscles to flab in 5 minutes. He's trying to get off the steroids so he can go back to the UFC.
Yeah.
Go. We're all tired of him. Yeah, we're all tired of him. We don't want you here anymore. Go away. Stay away. Take your needles and take Paul Heyman with you, but let him come back to talk for Becky Lynch.
Don't take Paul Heyman. Just go back to Montana. I think one of the podcasts you said, go back to Montana, sit there and kill some deer. I think that's what you said
go back to Montana, go kill your little deer with your little pop gun and tell your wife that she needs to make biscuits and gravy for you in the morning. So just go away. just go away.
Biscuits go and gravy.
Most over-pushed star of the year. Juice, it's your turn.
Brock Lesnar.
Tell us why.
Are you serious?
Why do you think Brock is over-pushed? I'm serious.
It'd be like a guy who shows up to work 10 hours a week. And then the boss says, you know what? I think you are ready to be a president of this company. But it only works 10 hours a week. Questions?
Good job if you can get it, huh? But time to move on. How about that, my man?
Moving on up.
The story of the year, not the storyline, but the story outside of the ring that affected the world of professional wrestling.
Story of the year.
Story of the year.
I would say the rise of the women's movement. I mean,
that's a good one.
You know, to have a women's only pay-per-view event, and you know, the things that we kind of discussed earlier as to what they've accomplished. Mm-hmm. I would definitely go with that. That's been a big, big, big jump for this year.
Uh-huh. About totally agreed.
What do you got?
Mine is the success of the pay-per-view that was not on the WWE roster. All In, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, putting up their own money after Dave Metzler said they could not, that ROH could not sell out 10,000 seats. They put up their own money. They find the venue. It's over 10,000 seats. They sell it out. It was just an incredible how they sold this out. Then the success of the pay-per-view itself, thousands of people showed up. They had their own kind of WrestleCon event afterwards. And I'm trying to remember the figure now that WrestleTees.com sold out of T-shirts. They didn't have anything left. They made over $500,000 in profit themselves. It was an event that I add on to that, the rise of the independents over this past year. The smaller promotions have really started to make inroads against the WWE.
Well, and I know you've been watching in championship wrestling from Hollywood, and I know you said that it's like 80% of the time it's like super, super good, and then there's that 20% that is just super, super not good, and you're just like, it's like, you know, if a company like that get a little bit better camera equipment, a little better lighting, a little bit better venue, man, they got some good. And I love the way, like, championship wrestling from Hollywood, like, there's so many guys like Nick Aldis and Tim Storm and so many of these guys that come there, and they have these really good matches, you know. Mm-hmm. Like when I guess it wasn't – well, it was at the All In when Cody Rhodes fought Nick Aldis for the NWA championship, but Nick Aldis fought Tim Storm for the NWA championship on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And, but NWA, you know, is owned now by Billy Corgan, which is cool. Uh-huh. So
do you see the success of Lucha Underground? I mean, they're still up in the air whether season 5 will be happening with Lucha Underground. Still, I hope it does. Then they've added on WGN America, a Saturday morning show called Ring Warriors. Then you've got ROH and the success they have, the smaller independent shows around the country. There's even a new one in Salt Lake City called Devotion Wrestling that our friend the MK Bandit is involved with.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's my storyline of the year, the success of All In and how the smaller promotions are starting to make some inroads in getting some publicity, getting news stories written about them, and getting people to turn their heads and saying, hey, there is something else besides the WWE.
That's awesome.
What was the story of the year for you for professional wrestling?
Roman Reigns.
I was wondering if somebody was going to mention that. Roman Reigns. What a tragedy.
You know, he's hated on in the ring because he got a push that he earned, that he got opportunities that he earned because he was the hardest working guy in that, you know. It's unfortunate. It really is. You know, and then the other one would probably be that Fox and SmackDown made a deal for an extremely disgusting amount of money to switch SmackDown over to Fox. But Roman Reigns tops it all. When your leading face of WWE is taken away from the sport and from the industry itself based on something that he has no control over, it's pretty tough to swallow.
Yeah, the social media went everything just went viral when Roman made the announcement that his leukemia had returned after a 12 years absence. I had never heard that he had battled leukemia. It was like getting punched in the gut. To see the raw emotions on Monday Night Raw, I'm not trying to make a pun, but to see the emotions of those backstage, even his two friends, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, didn't know. It had to be just heart-wrenching to be backstage and knowing how close all these guys and ladies are, because they're with each other every day. They travel together. They room together. They eat together. That's a good choice for storyline of the year. Yeah,
I think it's only Roman Reigns. So
yeah, and and speaking as a cancer survivor myself, with prostate cancer, I just see the emotions that these people had to go through. It's just something that was heart wrenching. So
the story of the year, not storyline, but the story that affected the world of professional wrestling the most. What would you pick?
I would have to say, like you just did, the rise of the indie circuit. The way the indie circuit is, and with all these new promotions that are coming around, Lucha Underground, AAA, NWA, and all these small promotions around are starting to gain more ground than these professional companies are right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say the indies are really tearing it up. We've got a promotion coming here at Stony Hill, North Carolina, where they're going to have a six-man first blood cage match. And I thought about that for a few minutes. Six-man first blood cage match just rolls right off the tongue. Okay, he just rolls right off the tongue.
Well, Juice, that's the best of 2018, our picks, and you picked some good ones, man.
Oh, of course I did. I picked the best ones out of, in fact, who had the best picks overall?
Me.
Out of all the people.
No.
You know, Dave,
yes.
Your arrogance is going to get you slapped by the arrogance itself, right in the face.
Bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
No, it's been an up and down year for WWE. Raw's like a stinky horse crap of Dora the Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown is dragging everybody else, trying to carry the weight, like I do with you on that. Like I used to do with that show and had to carry you the whole entire freaking hour.
Yep.
You know, NXT is still forgotten because no one likes NXT or Ring of Honor or Lucha Underground, so that all sucks.
I would rather watch NXT than WWE, the main roster. I would. but Juice,
you're such a cutie pie.
Juice, on a personal note, I know you don't get to be with us very often, and you kind of slowed back on what you're doing. We appreciate you coming on to help us out with this end of 2018. You know that you are always welcome anytime you want to come back on Turnbuckle Trash.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate the offer, and I'll be taking advantage of that offer here in 2019 and jumping on every now and then when I can.
Well, let's tell everyone your radio show that you have on and where they can pick you up at.
Thank you. So we have a radio show on the Full Court Press. It's on 106.9 FM and 1390 AM, The Fan in Logan, Utah. You can stream it on 106.9thefan.com. We are on from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Time, Eric Branson and I talking all things sports.
And occasionally you get a little plug-in for Turnbuckle Trash, right?
Occasionally, often. I mean, often.
Well, Juice, thank you so much, and we wish you the best. And thanks for being a part of what we do on Turnbuckle Trash, man.
All right, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
For a better 2019, especially with the WWE, right?
The Attitude Era to come back, which we know it's not going to happen, but we need something else. I mean, yeah, it's hard to see the WWE the way it is, but let's have a chair shot every now and then to the head. Let's have a little bit of blood in the ring. Let's have something. The WWE right now is on life support. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. They're not doing well. The ratings are so down. Like I said, Sesame Street is out doing Raw. Even the reruns of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is out doing SmackDown sometimes. We'll see what happens in 2019. Hopefully John Cena's hair, we can see it again like it needs to be cut.
Well, yeah. my man, thank you so much, and thank you for being part of Turnbuckle Trash, man.
Thank you so much.
Well, Dave, you know, it's been a great year. It really has. We both go through our personal struggles and trials and issues, but as far as Turnbuckle Trash, we've made lots of headway in getting social media sites up and websites up and new ways to listen to the show.
Yes, we're on CastBox now.
Which you can download the app and take it with you and listen to it anywhere you are.
Yeah, and we're also on the radio stations I work for. They've allowed us to put a link on to the Cool 103.9 website. We've had some publicity through another radio station there, and we also do links available on our classic rock station.
Awesome. Well, I'm so glad that that 2018 has been a success for Turnbuckle Trash, and 2019 is going to be even more awesome.
Thank you, Miz.
No, thank you, Dave.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair,
woo!
The comments that you heard in the program coming up are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
It was the gym that really turned into cow pie.
And now on this night, 2000, excuse me. Dang. I'm feeling like it's just going to be like you again.
A lot of rocks rattling around in that tin can of yours, you calibrate.
And now he's so low, even John Cena can see you.
Keep telling yourself that.
You the man, ma'am. You sound like a happy, happy camper now.
I took a nap.
I'd rather have watched Adam Sandler movies than watch Crown Jewel.
It's your personal opinion.
Wait, am I allowed to have that these days?
Not on Facebook.
Somebody might get offended and quit carrying our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, we'll leave that one alone for now.
Big, hairy deal.